they work?
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We talk so much about the Rams' potential chase for Odell Beckham. It looks like the wide receiver they have landed instead, what we know, is Brandon Cooks from the New England Patriots, whose brief stint with New England maybe quite didn't work. I mean, made some plays last year, but not quite what the team had hoped. And we were talking about they were getting to the point where would they buy into Brandon Cooks for the long haul? Would they give him a contract extension? And clearly the answer here was no. So instead of doing that, we've seen that from this team before. When it comes time to give a player an extension or walk away from him, they will try to get some value back. And that is what the Patriots have done here with Brandon Cooks.
As I'm sure you've heard by now, Brandon Cooks traded to the Rams, the LA Rams, yesterday. We don't need to cover that aspect of it. We need to get into the breakdown.
Break it down.
The breakdown. All right, so tell me why you're happy Brandon Cooks is gone.
I don't think he fit here. We've been on this for a while. I think you and I both have throughout the course of the season. I think the Tom Brady dust-up with Josh McDaniels was directly based because Brandon Cooks could not read coverage that day and some other days throughout the course of the year. And I always preface my comments with him as, and people do this with Brady, right? He's the greatest all time, but Brandon Cooks had a good productive year on paper, but when you watch it, did it look like he's a one or two here? And the answer is simply no. He was brought here last year because he was young, he had speed, the contract, the money for that type of player at that time worked in what role he was going to serve here. And to be fair to Brandon Cooks, he was played out of position, I think, last year because Julian Edelman went down. And Malcolm Mitchell gave you nothing with the knee. And Rob Gronkowski took a little bit to get going with the back injury, coming off back surgery. So Brandon Cooks, with all the excitement we saw with him running through coverage in the preseason, was done because of the thought of Julian Edelman and Rob were going to absorb a lot of double coverage and he was going to get good one-on-ones. I mean, how many games did you hear me call where I'm frustrated when he was running interior routes, whether a slant route, a dig route, and we had to hold our breath because it was going to do what? It was going to hit between a one and a four on a chest, and the big white gloves were going to try and juggle it and catch it, and he was going to go down. There was nothing smooth or seamless about him going inside. When I say going inside, slant, curl, come back to the quarterback, dig route, post route. He even struggled with some post routes downfield deep to where he would misjudge the timing of the height of the ball. And that's not good for a speed guy. I played with speed guys, man. I had Tony Simmons, and we went through the Bethel Johnson era here.
He was terrible as well.
God almighty. Tony Martin down in Miami. Some of the other guys I had down
there. Why don't you name somebody good?
That's what I'm saying. But we get enamored because the guy runs a freaking 4.29 or 4.3, and it's great on track day. But then you put the hats on, it reminds you of the guy from the replacements where you're running down the field. I'm not trying to – this is the first move of the offseason where I feel no angst over, and I said, big damn, they won this one. They won this one. You gave up, what, 32 last year to get him? Got 1,308 touchdowns in a year when Edelman got hurt? And you flipped him for a 23? For what? You giving up a four? They give you back a six? In essence, you had to throw five in? No big deal. You won that one. Now you got four picks in the first 63.
You've been more down on Brandon Cooks than I think anybody.
But this isn't isn't post trade.
So this is not post trade for you. I'm going to vouch for you.
I got a lot of reactions on Twitter like, oh, smear campaign, typical smear campaign from the homers.
No, for you it's not because you've been down on him. I think the entire time you've been down on Brandon Cooks
because I was waiting for the explosion and I never got it. He made a hell of a catch against Houston, and he'll make a great catch.
He had a great game against Houston.
He had a great AFC Championship game, correct?
He did. He had 6 and 100 in the AFC Championship game.
But it was like you had to wait for big stretches. For a guy that you were going to have to potentially pay $14 to $16 million, because that's market.
Yeah.
Market for a good young
That's true.
Receiver.
A lot of money getting handed out this offseason of receivers.
They weren't going to be able to, and maybe they tried to sign him back at maybe 10 a year or 9 a year. I don't know the number, and I know the report is they attempted to work on a contract with him. Because that guy can never walk through the door and say, you're making more than Rob Gronkowski.
I don't think that Brandon Cooks lived up to his potential.
He did not.
In the first year he was here, and now the only year he was here. But I do believe there is a bit of a smear campaign going on. I do believe that people are underrating what he was for this team. He had a good year. He's a good player.
He's a good player.
I thought he had the potential to be a great all-time type of player.
And to be fair to him,
I thought he was going to be a. I said it in training camp. I said this guy's going to be a star here because his camp was so good.
We were giddy.
His camp was so good. And I think that had the team been fully healthy,
he's running a fourth position at that point. Though
I think had he come back next year and had he been here again, I think we would have maybe started to see it. I think the trajectory would have gone up on him. It was going up, I think, on him.
You could get better with another year. And it's the same way we have to judge Stephon Gilmore, right? We say, okay, he played well towards the end of the year, and it started to come around. Just wait till you get another offseason with him and these safeties under his belt, and he understands coverage here.
But we're just scratching the surface. Let's pick this up on the other side. Brandon Cooks has been traded by the Patriots. They get back a very high draft pick at number 23 in return. The return is good. Talk about the player, what he meant to the team. How do you like the trade? 617-779-0985. There's 100 different angles to this move that the Patriots made last night. We'll try and get to all of them today on Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now Brady from the gun in a first and 20 from the 12. Takes the snap, backs up. Tom has time, fires out to the left side for Cooks. And again, not even close.
Man, they're not even a same area code. It's like Cooks is playing this game in Alabama. Brady's playing it in Florida. Two different states.
So the office pool for the Timberlake tickets was yesterday, and Zoe won. Of course you did.
Well, I think it's because
of course you won.
I screwed up the first email to enter it.
Yeah.
And I sent it to the wrong person, and I finally fixed it.
I told you as soon as you sent it, you sent it to the wrong person.
Maybe it's the double. And I sign up for every contest. I never win anything. I don't
That's
ever
not true.
Get anything.
And here's another story. The first meeting we ever had at 98.5 The Sports Hub, we all came together a couple days before the station went on the air.
Correct.
We all get together in the conference room. We have a little meeting. And who walked away with a pair of Springsteen's tickets? I think it was Springsteen, right?
Springsteen.
Yeah.
This guy.
Zoe won the Springsteen tickets.
Because I remember the content of what the meeting was talked about.
So you won the very first inner office contest, and you've now won the very latest.
We really bookended things. But wait a minute. The first one was different. This was just signing up in a random draw. We all had to answer 10 questions of what we heard in the meeting, and I got the highest score.
And he treated it like it was the Wonderlic, baby.
Lobby was so pissed at Zoe last night.
Oh, I bet she was.
What?
For winning.
What?
I'm like, oh, of course. And she's like, what? I said, there was a thing at work, you know, a pair of tickets, and Zoe won them. She's like, he signs up for that stuff. I'm like,
every employee.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay. So that's discrimination.
It is.
Yeah.
It's reverse discrimination.
It is.
She feels it's...
It's my right.
Unseemly.
That a privileged individual
for
like
somebody
Scott
who's
Zolak.
Worth, according to Celebrity Net Worth, $9 million.
Well, that's not true. We all know that.
Would enter a contest against, go up against part-timers. Right. You know, as Fred Touch would say, the five and dimers, the ham and eggers.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
At least I know everybody's name in the building, Fred.
To win a pair of tickets.
The 20-somethings that are, you know, struggling to pay the grocery bill.
Yeah, right.
And working as the sales assistant.
Like,
you know?
Like, what are you doing? What are you doing even entering that contest? So, for a concert that...
Oh, my God. Our boss sends an email out to the company.
Yeah.
And everybody and their mother, it's just like, hey, we're the new company, and I'm going to respond because I like everybody.
Yep.
And they're very interactive.
Yep.
And they're very pleasant to be around. And
well, you also nominated yourself for Employee of the Month.
Right. No, it was quarterly. Employee, I said.
Rockstar.
You tell me who deserves this award more than anybody else. Who else lights a room up like me when I walk in? Nobody.
Is that the criteria?
I don't think it was.
Who's ever, anybody else ever hang out with me and never think I had a bad day?
Is that the criteria?
I don't think it is.
Well, they said make a case for yourself.
Made a hell of a case. Just don't know it was the case they were looking for.
Slow cook ribs.
Yep.
They're the best.
But
my boy Jim's going. He's going tomorrow night. Right, Jim? Yeah. Your wife's a big fan.
Yeah, we're in a different area code, though.
She want to go with me tonight, so she could see the show?
Jim and his wife need a Sherpa to help get them to their seats. Meanwhile, Zoe is going to have to wear earplugs.
Jim, you might as well stay up at another floor until the next Bruins mountain. Game.
They got to make base camp halfway there. Acclimate.
The elevation can hurt, so make sure you take a moment and breathe.
Do we have a contest for
every so often?
Car service for a ride in or out we could sign up for?
Oh, stop it.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. All right, so Brandon Cooks traded last night. Back on to Brandon Cooks, who last year had 65 catches. He also had 1,082 yards. He had 114 targets, and he had 7 touchdowns. Do you know how similar those numbers are to that of Rob Gronkowski?
Pretty similar.
Almost identical.
Yeah.
Almost identical. Gronk had 69 catches, instead of 65. He had 2 more yards receiving, and he had 1 more touchdown. Yards per reception, 16.6 for Cooks, 15.7 for Gronk.
You sit behind me during games, at least the home games.
Yes.
When they break the huddle, how many times has Brandon Cooks ever affected coverage?
I'm talking just in terms of production. I'm not. I agree with you. I'm not trying to say that Brandon Cooks is as good or as impactful as Rob Gronkowski. That would be a dumb statement.
No, but the stat nerds do.
And nerds. All right. What did he put up?
Put up good numbers.
He put up good numbers.
And if I said he hasn't.
He was productive. He was your second leading receiver.
He got himself knocked out in the Super Bowl.
That is true. That is true. I don't have to take that away from him. We had this exact conversation nearly word for word 2 weeks ago talking about this guy. I don't think this was a surprise that he got traded. I think we had opened ourselves up to this possibility going back a couple of weeks, if not more. Trollin Volin is trying to take a victory lap today, saying he was the one that suggested it when he had suggested the guy get cut. That then led to the conversation with Volin on the line. That then led, Zoe, to the battle royale between Volin, Cattles, Hardy. That whole thing was over Brandon Cooks going back, a month? Was that a month ago already? I think it was. Yeah, already silent on that one. He doesn't want to tell you.
No, I don't remember when it was.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Zoe was somewhere.
It was a while ago. That was all over Brandon Cooks and the possibility of the Patriots moving on. I would not have guessed this in the Super Bowl as you saw his final play here. I would not have thought that would be his last play here in New England. But it was.
Yeah, nor did I.
And so, in return, they won the deal. They did. They got number 23, and I know the later round pick swaps, but to come out of that after a year in which you did not have Julian Edelman. Now, they didn't know that when they acquired him, but they needed him. The Patriots needed this guy last year. They needed Brandon Cooks. That's my only point about the production. What does that team look like without him last season? What do you think it looked like, Zoe, if he wasn't there? And I know, he fought the ball at times.
Yeah.
There were times where...
You probably have. You know what?
His spacing was wrong. He was running the wrong routes. Yes, there was an adjustment, and he was trying to get adjusted to the Patriots, but there was no indication that he didn't know that he was clueless or that he wasn't working hard or anything like that. He was a good player here. He should be remembered as such.
To put it in real terms, and it's wins and losses around here, as opposed to... I don't even get into the individual statistics because it drives me nuts. It's can the guy play or not. You probably have 2 less losses without him. Seriously, you don't win against Houston. I don't know if you win at Pittsburgh. People forget he had a big catch in that Pittsburgh game.
Sure did. In coverage.
Early
in coverage, too. That was
something he never did was go across and catch a tough slant route. We give him credit for it then. So you're probably playing on the road. Playoffs. Might not be divisional round. Might be AFC championship game. AFC championship game may have been in Pittsburgh. That'd be a tough place to win. Be a tough thing to do. So I'm with you. You got to give him a little credit here.
No, you got to give him the credit he deserves.
Credit.
The guy helped you win games.
Hey, how about this,
and
folks?
You absolutely needed him.
If he stunk and if he sucked, you wouldn't have got number 23 for him. Plus, you had to throw in an additional pick. Do you understand that?
You wouldn't have tried to renegotiate with him.
What's that?
You wouldn't have tried to sign him to an extension if he was terrible.
Yeah.
You weren't going to put him in at 14 or 15. That's going to be the market for him, people.
If you're going
to
pay him 7, you still think he's good.
Right. You probably wouldn't have
to pay
him 9.
7 because he stinks.
Was he worth the money?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what. If he were to come back next season, he probably would be worth the 8.5, too. So, you know, do I like the return? How do you not? How do you not like the return when you flip a receiver who probably doesn't have a long-term future here because they're just not into paying big dollars at the position, which eventually is going to have to change because the league is changing. And if you want one of these guys who can really play, you're going to have to pay them. That's just the way it's going in this league now. At some point, the New England Patriots will be forced to pay a receiver. May not be this year, may not be the next year, may not be under the tenure of Bill Belichick. It may not be with him calling the shots, but at some point in this world, down the road, they're going to have to do it. It wasn't going to be Brandon Cooks. I think we all sort of realized that.
Not when you have a tight end as your elite guy.
Yeah, he ain't going to be here forever.
But you keep the tight end as the elite guy. That's the brilliant salary move of it all. You can pay short receivers on short money if you have that guy.
So this is where I have my drawback in this deal. How are they going to replace him? How does the production get replaced? Are we assuming that Rob Gronkowski, are they super confident that Rob Gronkowski is fully committed and is going to be back?
Yeah, I think so.
They must. I hope they know that.
I think they know more than they're leading on to believe, and I think maybe even Rob might be enjoying this little back and forth because I think ultimately he's going to get more money out of this. Part of this, I think, does free up some money to maybe give him a little bit of a bump. And it was about this time last year they added the incentives. So I think that's all still in play. And they got four picks in the first 63. I think five in the first 94.
Oh, don't tell me they're going to draft a receiver.
No. But I'm saying
they're not good at doing that.
No. I'm saying you could flip a two for another receiver. So you could have draft day trades. They're not done yet. They're doing something. A Mike Freeman tweet from last night was fantastic. He said, I just love when Bill Belichick makes a trade because everybody in the league craps their pants because what's he up to? A trade of that magnitude. That's a big trade.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, this is how I look at it. Brandon Cooks, good young receiver who is important to this team in a year they went to Super Bowl. And now they lost Danny Amendola. They've lost Cooks, and they're bringing back Gronk, who we don't know is fully committed at this point, and Julian Edelman, who's going to be 32 coming off an ACL. They've taken a hit.
And maybe Malcolm Mitchell.
That's
also an indicator.
We're going to keep hearing that he's healthy, but I just don't think that's a guy you can bank on.
So
the first-round pick is great. I just wonder how it's going to impact the short term. The move feels like a long-term rebuilding type of move, which is, hey, good for you. You're going to get a good player at 23. You typically do, and Bill Belichick does great in the first round.
But are you actually worried about them scoring points? Ultimately, are you worried about them scoring points?
No, because they always score points. They always figure out the point part problem. They always do. I'm done worrying about the offensive point.
No, but the only thing you can't overcome is when you lose, guys. That's how I feel. They're losing, guys. They've lost two players. And we'll get one back. And hopefully Edelman is exactly the same guy he was before the injury.
They'll find a LaFell type somewhere.
Sure they will. You're right, Jim.
Could be Jordan Matthews who came in and visited the other day. Somebody like that.
You found you found Jabbar freaking Gaffney on the street, and he helped you to an undefeated record. Okay, they find these type of, and I call them exterior satellite type guys. It's Dante Stallworth, who they did pay a lot of money for. And Dante didn't have a massive role that year, but he was supposed to be Cooks, your outside speed guy that makes everything in the middle work. The bread and butter of this quarterback and where he makes his money is between the numbers and 12 yards. That's what they operate. It's 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4-5, boom, ball's out. But you need something on the outside to occupy safeties and keep them back. And that's what Cooks was supposed to do. But the injuries, and don't forget, you had Hogan. Remember, Brady had the Hogan balls, laid him out, got him hurt, according to Wickersham and all the reports. So you had to deal without him for a couple weeks. So all you had really was Cooks and Amendola. That's a tough go there. So, I understand why they did this.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Brandon Cooks traded by the Patriots to the Rams. We'll continue on this topic. We'll get your calls on this. Also want to touch on the Red Sox, who played a marathon game. And that thing lasted a long time.
Oof.
Did you catch all of it?
Yeah, Hardy did.
I was glued to it, man. I watched the whole damn thing.
That was the only game worth watching until the very end of the three last night.
Yeah, you could tell Bruins. No. Tonight's not our night, guys.
No.
I like the one who took us to stand there. Well,
he got distracted.
We'll get on the Red Sox next.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots parted ways with receiver Brandon Cooks yesterday, sending him and a fourth-round pick to the L.A. Rams in exchange for a first-rounder, number 23 overall, and a sixth-round pick. ESPN report says that the Pats did try and re-sign him before the deal was made. Bruins fell to the Lightning in Tampa last night, 4-0. Tuukka Rask was in net. Tuukka, what happened?
Yeah, they got the better start. I guess when you look at the score, 4-0. They were definitely the better team. I don't think it was necessarily a 4-0 game, but I donated them a goal there, and first 30 minutes they were on top of us, and they were definitely a better team.
Bruins are now in a tie for first with the Lightning, but have one more game left in the season than Tampa Bay. Tomorrow night they'll visit the Panthers. Celtics lost to the Bucks in Milwaukee last night, 106-102. Right back at it tonight. They visit the first place Raptors. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell have the call starting at 7:30. That's the pregame tip at 8 right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And the Red Sox needed 13 innings to beat the Marlins yesterday, 4-2. They have the day off before their home opener tomorrow. Headlines brought to you by Live Nation, Thomas Rhett and Brett Young and Midland. September 20th at Dunkin'.
Who?
Thomas Rhett with Brett Young and Midland. September 20th at Dunkin' Donuts Center. And 22nd at the SNHU Arena. Tickets Friday, 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
6-7 right-hander with a 1-1. Line shot into left field. Dietrich back. It's over his head out of the track. Betts is in to score. Benintendi coming around. He will score. Hanley comes through again in Miami. He loves it here, and the Red Sox lead it 4-2.
Red Sox win in 13 last night in Miami. That thing took a long time, but it was actually a good game. And Hanley comes through for the Red Sox. This is what I want to point out. We're what? 6 games in now?
Yeah, I think they're 5-1.
And Hanley Ramirez is already forcing their hand. Forcing Alex Cora's hand to make sure he's in the lineup every single day. We talked about this in the offseason.
Sure did.
Talked about what's going to happen. What's going to happen when you've got Hanley, who obviously wants to play, who wants to get his plate appearances, who wants to trigger his player, the automatic option there. So far, how do you not put him in the lineup? How do you not play him? You can't not play him.
He's your best power hitter.
He looks great.
He's your best power hitter.
He looks ready to go.
He's a point
fully
of viewing.
Engaged.
Starting to get a little bit of a feel like when it was Ortiz and Manny. Like, he's appointment viewing for me.
Shoulder looks good. Swing looks good. And he's hitting the ball hard.
Yeah.
And last night he won you a game. That's what he did. And so does it, is it just a week? Is it just the small sample?
Well, he won you a couple. I mean, he hit the home run the other night.
Like, I don't know. I felt good about him coming into the year, and I feel even better now. I feel more confident in what we said about him in spring training. Because I thought that he could come in and force their hand and be good enough that they can't consider sitting him down. And so far for him, so good. He's even stealing bases. He's even running.
It's another win for the TB12 method.
He looks like the Hanley Ramirez of 10 years ago.
Hey, Char got the extension, too. He's another like.
I said this yesterday off the air, I think, but did you see him lift up his shirt after the game? Carrabba's snapshot. Of course, Carrabba's did. He caught it.
Yeah, of course he did.
He slept with it.
In great shape.
But he's.
You could tell when he gave his jersey off to give it to the kid the other day.
He's always been like a ripped guy, though. He's always been huge.
He's been thick, but to be cut is different. Oh, it's like the Gronkowski stuff now. Brob's always been big.
Do you think he looks different than he did before?
Yeah, he's more chiseled.
He looks like Gronk, like thinner and just more cut.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed they did
not as much bulk.
They did a nice little piece on him, giving his key, promised that kid his jersey if he had a home run, and he lived up to it, came in the stands and gave it to him. He took his jersey off, but you could tell with the tight T-shirt. Like, wow, he's in good shape, man.
Like, I think that Hanley, you've got to remember, though, that Hanley, the last couple of years, And I think it was last year he came into camp and he had put on tons of muscle, like had hit the gym all winter long. That's not what he has typically been. I think he's just gone back to what he used to be.
When did he?
And then he had shoulder surgery.
You just don't want to give the Brady method any credit.
Yeah, wait a minute. When did he do the body magazine?
No, it's not that. Maybe it is. Maybe it, he's doing it, but that's not why he's hitting the ball well. Don't tell me he did the TB12 method, and that's why he's hitting well.
No, but that's why he's running, and that's why he looks athletic.
He's been playing with a hurt shoulder. He had,
you know what I think is
far more important?
He's more loose.
Getting his shoulder fixed is far more important for swinging the bat.
I didn't say swinging the bat. I said running, athleticism, playing the field.
How he feels.
He looks different.
How he feels.
Yeah, I think he looks like the guy that he was a couple of years ago.
Jim, when did he do that ESPN body in the magazine? Remember he was standing there at an ironing board, and he had his shirt off. He looked huge, but he wasn't cut. He didn't have any muscle definition in the front, but he looked thick. Like, he looks different than he did then. And that's like dropping the 15 and converting fat to muscle.
I don't know.
Give him credit if that's what he did, because that means he worked his ass off. Also kind of in a contract year, too, right?
Well, whatever it is, he's committed.
Ass.
Let's just say this. He's committed, and he's going to force their hand.
You need him. How many tight games have you had this
year? He's going to make him better.
How many tight games have he played this year? Pretty much every one.
Because the offense has been
all but yesterday
poo-poo for the most part.
Or 2 days ago. The 7-3 win in the first set over Miami was the only non-close game. Mm.
The offense has been anemic to this point.
Where's your watch?
Don't.
Is what it's been.
You look naked over there.
Don't. I'm freaked out about it.
Hardy forgot his watch. Like, anybody have an extra watch?
Just let me wear one. I'm going to go get Tom's.
Yeah.
You do that. 617-779-0985. So the Red Sox get a win. We're mixing that in as well. That was, despite it being a 4.5 hour game, not a bad game to watch. I would prefer that it be like a 3 hour game, but.
Well, it was heading that way.
All games need to start at 6 o'clock. That's all I'm saying. All games start at 6 o'clock.
I don't disagree
awesome.
With that. That would be better.
Be better for everybody.
I'll tell you what, Jim, if we move to that new time zone that we're going to create. We'll be able to watch games at 6.
No. Right? It's the other way. Red Sox have to travel to the Eastern time zone to face the Yankees. The game starts at 8 Atlantic.
All right. Dummy.
When I was in the Dominican, it was 1 hour ahead,
stupid
and it screwed me up the whole time.
Stupid me.
It's because you're dumb.
National Championship game Monday night would have started at 10:20 Atlantic.
Jim's like, I didn't know you went to Dominican. Now we can talk about your vacation?
Stupid me.
Oh.
A dummy.
Oh, nice.
617-779-0985. Johnny's in Fitchburg. Johnny.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hi, John.
Listen, reading a lot of reports that teams are preparing trade packages for Rob Gronkowski. Just wanted to hear what you guys thought the asking price would be if that were to happen.
I mean, to play your game, I think you start with two ones. I'm sorry. Two first-round picks. And we pick up the phone. And we keep going from there. He's 28. It's going to be 29. I know there's miles on him, but he looks as good as I've ever seen him.
Yeah, I think that would be great for Tom Brady. Trade away Brandon Cooks and Rob Gronkowski. I think he'd be loving that.
No, but it's not going to happen, but I said to play his game.
Well,
if you want to play your game.
There is a report about how Tom Brady feels about the Brandon Cooks trade, his feelings on it. We will address that.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From the Patriots' point of view, Cooks and Tom were never on the same page, right? A lot of those, you know, Cooks is one of those guys who takes him a long time to get up to speed, and he has basically three routes, right? The comeback, the go route, and, you know, a post route. Sometimes they hit you with a double move. But the thing about it, you know, this offense has always been predicated around the horizontal stretch of the field, not really the vertical stretch of the field, which will honestly even come more into play this year when you lose a guy like Nate Solder, and I don't want to go back to Nate Solder, but you lose a guy like Nate Solder, that's that half a second you need for a guy like Cooks to run that comeback route. So when you look at a trade like that, this may even, it's kind of like the butterfly effect, right? That mm-hmm. one little flap, you know, you lose a guy like Solder. Now, see you later, Cooks. See you later, all you vertical, you know, specialists. Yeah, you know, we need guys who are quick on the inside.
Gerard Mayo on Quick Slants, NBC Sports Boston with Tommy Curran, talking about sort of the chain reaction of losing a guy like Nate Solder. See, it's now the offense will change now that the protection is not as good.
Yeah, it's interesting coming from a guy who played a high-end position defensively, you know, defensive captain, made all the calls, to understand, you know, the timing aspect of that offense and how it's run. And, you know, we have to call front a certain way because we know Brady's going to get rid of the ball this way. And if Nate can't block that, then we're going to get there and it's going to disrupt that route. He's right. It's good points by Mayo. What's the butterfly effect? I'm going to use that one.
You do that. You do that. 617-779-0985. Did you see the report about Tom Brady's feelings on things?
Yes.
I'm going to give it to you. It's from Rappaport.
Rap sheet.
He says, one more note on Brandon Cooks in a tweet. Rams are getting an incredibly productive wide receiver who Sean McVay has coveted. But the Patriots didn't see him as a true number one for them. And from what I understand, Tom Brady is not sad about this move. Despite his numbers, Cooks wasn't a great fit.
That's kind of what we've talked about. Yeah. I've never viewed him, even covering the games, as a number one or two. Because you just hold your breath when he's running interior routes. The entire tree. This offense, you've got to be multidimensional to where you could be flexed out, you could be flexed in. Never once did they line him up in the slot. I mean, they got to the point where they had to be creative to hand him the ball on jet sweeps to get him going in the offense when you couldn't get him. I mean, my God, that call down there, third down inside. Oh, frustrating plays. It keeps coming up in the Super Bowl. And when he got knocked out, Brady still threw for 505 yards. How essential was he in the biggest game ever? He helped get you there. If you didn't have him, you're probably not in a Super Bowl. See, but moving forward, this is what this is about and what you're going to have to ultimately pay him.
You buy this, though? The way that's kind of framed? Oh, like Tom Brady doesn't care. Tom Brady's upset about everything these days. And now it's they lose Amendola and Cooks and, whatever.
I think Tom Brady's not stupid enough to believe that they're going to make that move. We're going to roll in with what we have. I think Tom Brady's going to sit back and say, okay, we got rid of Cookie, but Let's see what we do to replace it.
What, he's convinced they're not going to stick him with Rasheed Caldwell again?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Rasheed Caldwell?
Yeah. Yep.
Why?
I go back to the, man, I keep going back to that Buffalo game. You know, and after seeing the replay.
Why would he be so confident they're not going to Joey Galloway him again?
Because Josh is back, and you know you need people. He talks to Josh. Come on. Right? Josh is the buffer. That's not so copacetic.
I just have my doubts a little bit.
Well, like I don't trust
like
Mitchell.
Tom Brady's, you know, talking to guys. Right. I'm not sad about this. Really? Like Tom Brady's camp has been talking to the media in the last, 12 hours?
You think they went to him?
Letting him be known that Tom doesn't care. Tom's not sad.
Well, go back to like.
Why would you do that?
Go back to 2009 or 2010 when they let Moscow.
Feels like you're dumping on the guy on the way out the door, which is not something Brady's into.
Brady never does that.
Exactly, which is why I have my doubts about this.
Right.
That's not his style.
This is a guy making a report by reading all the beat writer stuff, current ed stuff, going back to what? The Buffalo game. It's pretty evident Brady was pissed off about Cooks not settling in the hole against zone coverage.
Yeah, was he a perfect fit? No.
No.
He wasn't a perfect fit. I think we all admitted that.
I think it's pretty easy to put
those
points
together.
But now
it's turning into no big loss there. What? Oh, okay.
It is rap sheet. We did that yesterday, right? You got to take it with a grain of salt.
Right. Yeah, right. I'm taking it with a grain of salt. Big old grain of rock.
From what I understand, is how he phrased it this time. Right?
Yeah. Again, to me,
from what he understands.
Again, to me, to what we said yesterday.
Right? Is that actual report?
It's him.
Is that?
Or it's him.
So don't make too big a deal of it. Just like we talked about yesterday.
You're right. I'm not.
Don't make too big a deal.
It's him. It's him trying to. And I think this is his people trying to tell him. Add to this. Add to the story in New England. What do you got? What do you got? Come on.
Let's go to some calls. 617-779-0985. Andrew in Milton. Hi, Andrew.
Hey guys, I just want to say. So I think when the Pats originally made this move for Cooks, they envisioned him as a number three guy behind Edelman and Gronk.
Or four.
And Amendola, too. So, you know, his cap hit last season at $1.5 million, I think. That's well worth it. But now, assuming you're going to go into next season with Edelman and Gronkowski, they're just simply not going to pay $8 million for a number three guy. But what I wanted to say is that kind of stinks because, you know, like you said, Zoe, he's been forced to play out of position. So now you're not really ever going to get to see the way him play the way they envisioned him playing in the system. Thanks.
Right, but I think internally, and if I could pick up on these little things that he's not a fit here, or you're really forcing the issue with him, but you could still make it work, it's frustrating to do that. You want guys that sleep, eat, sleep, drink it, that react the way you want him to react in space. He does not react well in space. And I think there had to be a break point where, whether it was 5 games in, 8 games in, 16, 2 playoff games. I mean, everything had to be designed for him on the big plays down the field, right? Drawn up, max protected. This guy's running the under. It's the coverage we want. It's man, it's robber. And he's one, and he can outrun that guy from the other side of the field.
$1.56 million.
You know what his numbers were on third down?
What a great salary. I mean,
how many times do you think he was targeted on third down this year?
I mean, take it in a vacuum. Hold on, just take it in a vacuum. The Patriots got the guy by giving up a first-round pick,
yep.
Used him for a year. He was a valuable member of the team.
When Edelman got
turned around and moved on, yep. And got a better first-round pick in the deal they did.
Wow.
Just in terms of value and what you're doing, you definitely won.
Rams got fleeced. I don't say fleece because
they lost the trade in terms of just the value charge.
But who are they handing? And everybody says, well, you get screwed because you don't go to a good team. That's a good team out there that's loaded up on defense, that's got to spend money because they got stadium issues. And you have Sean McVay, who's one of the most creative guys in the league as far as designing an offense to make it work to where this guy's got to be in this spot.
Rams are loading up, my friend.
He's going to do well with the Rams because they're going to design stuff to hit him on certain
You
things.
Need to win 11 games again, though. We talked about that last week.
Like, again,
the Rams must win 11 games again, and that's going to be harder for them in 2018 than it was in 2017. But you were saying targeting.
What down do you make your bread and butter in this league?
Of course you make it on third down.
Whether it's defense or offense. First thing you do after a win or loss, defense. How many times you get off the field on third down? Do you guys watch Super Bowl?
Are you going to give me these stats?
Okay. Brandon Cooks, 2017, third down.
Yeah.
Targeted 26 times, completed 7 balls. 7 catches for 7 out of 26 times on third down for 154 yards. That's not good for a 1 or 2.
That tweet that you reference, right?
Yeah.
Has been deleted. Jim sent us this.
Is that right?
Yeah. So the tweet you sent us was from the PatsFans.com Twitter account.
3 for 26, 157, and 3 touchdowns. I got it.
I still have it. I have it, too, in my phone. But that tweet is now deleted. I wonder why. Because were they getting accused of the smear campaign? Like, that's what it is. Where was that tweet? When was that tweet originally sent, Jim?
I saw it this morning.
Okay.
Driving in, yeah.
So in the last day, since the trade app, where was that tweet, like, in the regular season? PatsFans.com. That's what I'd like to... You know, was anyone on the guy?
No, we were still pro Cooks during the season because he was on the team.
Because he was on the team. It's so transparent. I don't remember anyone saying, you know, this guy's really not really carrying his weight on third down.
No, there's one guy that's been saying all this stuff all season long, and he's sitting right next to me.
I know, it's Scott Zola. He's been more critical of Brandon Cooks than anybody.
Hi.
And what did we do all year long when Zola was critical of Cooks? We'd take calls from angry, sensitive Patriots fans who wanted to yell at Zola about how dare you criticize Cooks.
Yeah.
And I think your criticism of Cooks goes too far. I'd agree with some of it. And that's why after he's been traded, I think, okay, they did a great deal. They won the trade last night. But tell me exactly how this makes the team better without knowing where that pick is going.
I understand it, and he's a little bit out of position. But I got a little excited in the preseason because I invested a lot of time watching multiple practices down there, pretty much all of them, to where he just basically abused people. And we never got to see that. And there were times where he struggled on the deep ball, deep posts, where he had trouble judging the ball in flight.
Yeah, I think there are also times where Tom Brady couldn't get him the ball.
Absolutely.
But Tom Brady's not the best deep ball thrower.
Hey.
Which brings up an interesting point that Jim Louth raised to me this morning about why the Brandon Cooks may have been traded
to the
Patriots, why the Patriots wanted him so badly when they did go out and get him, and they were willing to give up a first-rounder to get him last offseason, and then they tried to extend him. Why would they try to extend him? Talk about that in 90 seconds.